Do you enjoy pain?
Film.
Don't hurt.
Do you think Edward Norton's career went to shit because of the Italian Job and the score? I was thinking about this today because, like, his career was on track. Like, he was going to be, like, the star of his generation. And then he played those two shitty, snobby bad guys in those two movies. And everything went to hell.
Not the score. The score's okay. I enjoyed the score.
Yeah, but he plays that, like... Oh, you want them both to have a mustache. Yeah, smirmy. They're both smirmy.
He comes off as a know-it-all kind of douchebag.
Yeah, exactly.
The Italian Job is pretty terrible. No, I would attribute it more to other bad decisions. It was a series of bad decisions. He made a movie called Down in the Valley that I actually saw in theaters. It was just...
Yeah, with the... What was the young actress name that dated Marilyn Manson?
Rachel Wood, maybe?
Something like that, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That was pretty terrible. He did that Cholera movie, which was pretty good, but nobody saw it in the world.
Both of those were Painted Veil. And then he did that one where he played himself twice as twins for marijuana. It was like a marijuana movie.
That was pretty recently, though. Yeah, that was Leaves of Grass. I don't know what the hell happened to him. He did The Hulk, and that was a shitty film that somehow people like.
Oh, that's not cool, dude. Not cool at all.
Even that was relatively recent. His downhill, you know, Death to Smoochie. Maybe with Death to Smoochie was the death to Norton?
No, that was so early on. I mean, that was like back in the Leap of Faith days.
Yeah, which is where the Italian Job and the score are as well, pretty much.
Oh my God, I feel like your chronology is way off.
Italian Job might be a little later, but the score's not all that much later. The score and... just forgot the ones we just mentioned. and the Leap of Faith, or whatever it's called, Keeping the Faith. They all came out in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Not Leap of Faith. Leap of Faith was a good movie. I like Leap of Faith.
I haven't seen Leap of Faith. That's the Steve Martin one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I had a question for you, too.
Okay.
I'm sorry we couldn't come to an agreement on when Edward Norton's career went to shit.
No, but as long as we're in agreement that it did go to shit.
It did. He was like the De Niro of
his generation. He was supposed to be. That was so amazing about the scores. It was supposed to be De Niro, Norton, Brando, and it was like actors of their generation, right?
Yeah. It was like Heat, but different.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. My question for you is... do you think we should have named the site Hey Man I Love Films so we could call it like Hey Milf? Hey Milf!
No, I don't.
No? Okay. I just was wondering. Anyway.
What a bad idea.
It was supposed to be a bad idea. Come on, I wasn't being serious.
No, it's like a word and then an acronym. It's not Humilf.
It's Hey Milf.
Hey Milf. Yeah, that's a great idea.
It could be like, hey man, I love films.
And then we gotta start adding shit like, hey man, I love films, what are you doing tomorrow?
That would be an awesome acronym right there, I have a feeling.
Too much.
Can we come up with an acronym for the Italian Job and call that a site? Figure it out. Okay. Welcome to episode...
Good lead-in.
Wasn't it? Thank you.
Strong.
Sorry it wasn't Edward Norton deep thoughts.
In retrospect, I think I won up to it, but that's okay.
Perhaps. Welcome to episode 9 of the Film Don't Hurt podcast. I am your co-host and co-founder of Men I Love Films. Hey, man, I love films.
And I am the almost co-founder of Hey, Man, I Love Films and co-founder of ManILoveFilms.com, Kai Parker.
So, today we are going to be talking about the phenomenon of rewatching films.
I have a question before we even go.
Sure.
Was this inspired? I feel like, we've discussed on the podcast that
we're very
friends.
Transparent.
Yes.
We can guess what the topic is going to be based upon. What series of events in your head led you to want this to be the topic for today? Yes.
That's the thing. Especially with you. Like, I feel like I just come up with random shit, but, like, there's usually as is typical, but the difference between you and I, I'm very random and you are very logical and thought out. I'm not saying that's like a bad thing.
I'm gonna call myself a Vulcan. Too many people have called me logical in the last couple of weeks.
I'm fine with that.
I'm starting to get worried. Am I that robotic?
Well, who do you think, if the listeners had to pick, who would they pick as Shatner and who would they pick as Spock?
Those are the only choices?
Yes, those are the only choices.
I think you should be Scotty.
You think I should be Scotty?
Yes.
Simon Pegg Scotty? I'll buy.
I was not just going with Fat James Doohan.
Fuck you. Hey, I'll have you know I've lost a lot of weight recently.
You have. You're a handsome devil.
I am a handsome devil. Okay, so here's the thing. We've mentioned on the show before that we are friends and we talk outside of this and we have relationships. We text and we talk. And your words to me after seeing Gravity were that this is the first movie in a long time you want to go back and see right away. And so my first thought when you said rewatching movies was that Gravity inspired this.
Ha ha, I'm not predictable. It has nothing to do with that.
Okay. I don't feel bad. I just had to ask.
This is actually a spark of an idea I had a long time ago, probably even before we started this podcast. You know, it's not much of an idea, but we'll see where we go. That's the fun of Film Don't Hurt, right?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to kind of gauge your temperature as it relates to the rewatching of films. I think everyone has their own kind of philosophy towards it. You know, some people I've heard from, they are like, I watch a film once, I never need to see it again. I don't want to waste my time. I could be watching something new.
Yes.
I'm not one of those people. I know you're not one of those people, but
no.
The listeners don't necessarily know that or know your particular philosophy, as it were, around this. So I guess, first of all, just tell us what yours is, if you have anything like kind of broad.
I don't. I think cable plays into this a lot, and maybe we should eliminate that for the sake of things. Like, if The Matrix is on,
I mean more.
If Raiders is on, I'm rewatching it.
Purposeful rewatches.
Purposeful viewing. Okay. Yeah, it's interesting that you bring this up because we're recording this towards the end of October, and this is a big rewatch month for me because it becomes down to getting in the spirit of Halloween, as we kind of discussed last episode. Mm-hmm. And that's reviewing a lot of the classic horror films. So, I mean, that tends to come up for me. We have a friend, Rachel Throw. And one thing that always stuck with me is we're both big fans of Fight Club. They rank, I believe it's her favorite, if not her second favorite. And it's up there for me as well.
And it's up there for me as well.
Yeah, it is there for a lot of people.
That was a film I was going to mention to you.
Well, and she tends to mention that she rewatches it at least once a year, or she has like an annual thing where she does it. I don't do that.
If with any film or with that film?
No, I mean, the only thing I annually rewatch is Christmas Story, and again, it's a holiday thing, so maybe we should eliminate that for the sake of discussion,
well,
too.
Well, that's another one that almost goes into your first thing that you wanted to eliminate. How can you avoid it? It's on.
Yes, TBS is the 24-hour marathon, so it becomes a cable thing and it becomes a holiday thing.
But you don't have normal. I mean, it's not absurd or anything, but you can't think of any others that you like schedule, not so much hard schedule, but want to rewatch on an annual basis or anything like that?
Not an annual basis.
I don't think I do too, or either, outside of Christmas films. There are some Christmas films I want to.
It's November 10th. It's time to watch Fight Club again. I don't do that.
Like, my wife and I have taken to, we haven't been all that strict with it, but we're kind of making Southland Tales our New Year's Eve film.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't believe you like that movie. I need to I hate you, because I'm going to end up rewatching that because of you. And I don't feel like I should have to. I feel like it was a bad film.
You don't have to. I'm not pressuring you to.
Yeah, but you've said some shit, and I saw it. It's one of these things.
Shit. I say some shit about a lot of things.
You said some shit about that movie. It's one of those things that, like, we have grown into, like, film bloggers and podcasters. And there was a time before we decided to take this seriously where we were probably imbibing movies at a great pace and exposing ourselves to stuff like the works of the I want to say Linklater, and that's not right. Darko. What's his name?
Oh, my God. Kelly.
Richard Kelly?
I think so. You're making me blank on it, too.
Yes, sir. No, there was a time we exposed ourselves to that, and maybe we weren't ready to be film connoisseurs or film lovers or anything like that. So I saw it in that time period where, like, I think it was a little over my head. So I think now that I've been taken in a lot of films, I'd like to revisit it.
It's not over your head. It's It's under your head. It's through your head, I think.
Well, fair enough, but I don't think I had the right eyes on it. I think I was younger, and I don't think I was ready to, like, even take that in.
Okay. Just
I didn't give it a fair shot, and I'm willing to give it a fair shot as someone who loves film now.
Yeah, take that movie with a grain of salt. Come on, you should know better. That movie's a train wreck, but it's a fun train wreck.
Well, and if I can appreciate it, like, that's fine. And if I think it's shit, it's fine. I would just, like, I've heard enough people like you that I respect that I would.
And Rachel, she loves it too, I think. Oh, no, she hates it.
You know what? Fuck Rachel.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's end this.
Where were we?
Let's go back to Fight Club, because that actually tied into something that I did want to mention.
Fight Club that made me want to get into movies.
Okay, but that's not what I wanted to ask you.
Okay. Yeah, but it's an important film to me, so it's a good one to talk about.
I know that you have no problems rewatching certain films, like, hundreds of times.
Yes.
Batman Begins being...
Yes,
flawless. One that you mention a lot.
Matrix, yes.
Now, I don't know, is that a cable thing, or is that something you do on purpose as well?
Cable helps. Cable helps. It's like Shawshank.
Yeah, but Batman Begins only shows on, like, FX. Do you really watch it on FX every time?
No, it doesn't. It shows on AMC. It shows on a ton of channels. It actually shows quite...
It shows on edited commercial channels, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes that'll lead me to do the thing where you're, like, you're watching it with commercials, you're like, fuck this, I own the Blu-ray, I'll just throw it in.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that helps. Same with Shawshank. Like I was saying, I own a copy of Shawshank that I've never put in my DVD player because I don't have time to want to see it again before it's on, but I get sucked in every time it's on.
Okay, so those hundreds of watchings of those films are mostly cable-driven. It's not, hey, I really want to see this right now, I'm going to turn it on for the 100th time.
Some are cable-driven. Some are. I wouldn't say that with the case of the three we mentioned, which were Batman Begins, Matrix, and Shawshank, where they're on so much that it doesn't give me time to even think about having to put it in, because it's seriously probably on a channel right now.
Yeah.
there's other movies, like a good one recently is what I've kind of called my background noise movie is Star Trek, the 2009 Star Trek.
Right. Oh, yeah, that was how could I forget? It was Batman and Star, those were the two ones that you had told me a number of times that you've watched, and others you probably mentioned on podcasts and whatnot.
Of the last 10 years, I cannot, because there's a difference, because like I feel like on cable, The Dark Knight shows a lot too, and I don't get as excited for that. I will get sucked into that as much. If it's on, I'm going to watch it, but it's not the same as Batman Begins, because I have this unhealthy love of Batman Begins to where I want to revisit it constantly, because I feel like it is a flawless film. Mm-hmm. And I realize it's a differing opinion than most, because I think other people feel like Dark Knight's that movie. It's not for me, so it just happens to be one that gets the need filled for me through cable. But like Star Trek, the 2009 version, me being a Star Wars guy, never watched the TV show, never saw the original movies, I can throw that movie in at any time, and I just find it like this great ride that you can watch, and it's just such good. It's close to a perfect popcorn summer film, and I can revisit it constantly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Second half of that question, though, is... are there any films that you hold sacred that you love and would probably love to rewatch but don't want to?
Yeah.
Like? Good. See, because Fight Club is one of those for me. Fight Club's in my top three films. I don't want to watch Fight Club every month, every day, every week. Probably not even every year. Maybe every... I don't know. Because I want it to remain as fresh as possible every time I do watch it.
I find that I don't look at it like that. I don't have that sacred opinion of it where like it's going to lose something for me. I get more in like, I just revisited a film the other day that I saw beginning of last year. And I, for a year I was going, it was Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
I thought you were going with The Dictator.
No. Which I thought was a really clever film, really smart, really funny. I fucking enjoyed it. It was shocked how good it was.
Yeah.
And for a year, I was like, I got to watch that again because it came to Netflix and it was on cable and stuff like that. And I didn't. And I kept putting it off because there was something there that it was like, it wasn't good enough that I actually wanted to give up 2 hours of my time to sit down and watch it. I really liked it, but I didn't remember. It didn't like... God damn it, I didn't have to fucking see it again.
Yeah.
And I finally revisited it the other day, this last week, and it had been 18 months or whatever since I'd seen it, and that felt like enough time. So I feel like, while I really liked it and thought it was clever and funny, I felt like I got enough out of the first viewing and I didn't have to go back. Fight Club's a different story. See, I have these films that, like, when I started wanting to get into screenwriting and doing all this shit that we're doing, I had a set amount of films that I watched constantly on repeat. It was Pulp Fiction, The Matrix, Fight Club, Memento, and believe it or not, The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Which one stands out?
Yeah, which one of these is not like that? But I would watch those films constantly on repeat. I think at one point I had Pulp Fiction going on a 24-hour loop in my house. Like, I'd just come home and press play and just rewatch. And those films don't get old for me, and I don't have that feeling of sacredness because I do feel like they're so flawless. The only problem is they become repetitive. Like, I have found my viewings of Fight Club have started to space out a little more now. And in all due respect, it's been, 15 years we're going on now?
Yeah.
So, but the fact that I could go 15 years watching it that often says something to the quality of the film.
But there's none of your favorite films that you want to do that for, what I was talking about, where you want to hold back?
No, because if it's a favorite film of mine, if it reaches that peak, like, I'm fine throwing it in. What about you? You sound like there's some for you.
Oh, there are, for sure. And the thing is,
answer your first question first. What was the first question you asked me?
I don't remember. I was talking about how you have no problems rewatching certain films hundreds of times.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And yeah, I do too, but I don't think.
What are the? Because you're particular. What are the ones you revisit hundreds of times?
Well, I wouldn't say that I've done that a lot with anything in the last, I don't know, 5-10 years. but I think that has more to do with just life situations and time. You know, when I was 22 and didn't have shit to do, it was really easy to just watch shit over and over and over again. I mean, hell, the number of times I've seen Fletch, I couldn't tell you, but the number of times I've seen it in the last 5 years is less than 5. So I just don't think I'd do that. And, you know, I could say the same for Star Wars, Indiana Jones, etc. I find that the films that I'm talking about with the second half of that I hold sacred are the ones that are, like, my favorite films, my top three. Pulp Fiction, Fight Club, Eternal Sunshine. Now, the kind of irony to this is I saw Pulp Fiction in the theater 6 times. I don't know how many times I saw it from 1994 to 2000, 2004, whatever. But I find that if I see that it's showing on cable, I don't want to go to it because I don't want to become too familiar with it, even though I kind of already am. That one's kind of a bad example. But I still want to keep it as fresh as possible. And I'm like, I want to revisit it every 3 years or 4 years or something like that, just so it seems as new as possible. And maybe I'm hoping that I forget shit and that when I watch it again, it'll be cool. Something like that. It's probably much more prevalent with Eternal Sunshine because I've seen Fight Club a bunch of times too, and it's a little hard for that one to surprise me. But
I agree. Eternal Sunshine was one I just rewatched this year, and I had a hard time getting myself to move. I find with a lot of movies, Dylan, maybe you do this too. Like, half the battle is just getting in the DVD player. Like, I feel like if I can get in the DVD player and get press play and go 5 minutes in, I'm hooked. But sometimes getting up that inertia to get it in and get it going is half the battle.
That's kind of part of it, but it's at the same time not at all. I wouldn't say that I've really done that with anything lately where I put the DVD in unless it's, you know, quote-unquote an assignment for a podcast or a blog or something like that. All these films I'm talking about, they show on cable. I can find them on demand and just record them, and I do that. I think the thing about it with Eternal Sunshine is it's kind of probably a little ridiculous and silly, but it has something to do with the plot of the story itself. It's about forgetting. So I kind of do that to myself as well in hopes that, you know, I don't get too familiar with it. Anyway, we don't have to dwell on that, especially since you're not, you don't really do that. I try to do that.
I feel like what it comes down to is essentially you have a good memory of something and you almost don't want to tarnish it, or you almost want to be able to go back and relive it, whereas opposed to I feel like it's an old friend that I want to spend time with.
See, it's both. I do want to do that. And that's what we can kind of segue into kind of my next part.
Maybe for you, it's like an old high school friend, and you want him to be that guy he used to be, but he stopped drinking, and now he has a family, and he's not going to be as fun.
I haven't gone that far with the metaphor. No, sorry.
This is your therapy session. Let's do it.
But then there's like another tier of films that are films that I love, but, you know, they just kind of get lost in the shuffle, I suppose. You know, you're going to remember your Star Treks and your Batman Begins and your Raiders and your Star Wars and blah, 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 blah. But what about something like A Galaxy Quest or Election or something like that? And these are ones that I want to revisit, and I just rewatched Election, and I really, really enjoyed it. But it's not something that was fresh on the top of my head that I would think to rewatch, you know, every month or every year or something like that.
Yeah, a little more sparse. Next year down, doesn't take priority to those other films.
But I was rewatching that, and I kind of went through this period of rewatching films where, you know, I'll be at home and I just don't feel like watching something new, and I kind of feel guilty about it. But then it's like, I've got all these things that I want to rewatch and just maybe not have the time for. But when I do, it is like revisiting that old friend.
Yeah. Well, I find it, you mentioned Galaxy Quest, I find it a little even harder with comedies, because in that situation, like, sometimes comedies strike a chord, like Galaxy Quest, where I can think of, like, Grandma's Boy, a film to me that just kind of cracked me up, or Super Troopers the first time I saw it, where it could become, the jokes can run their course with you if you watch it too much, and you don't want it to do that because of how much you lost your shit the first time you saw it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a comedy is almost a little different for me than, like, a drama.
Yeah. Are there any films that you are afraid to rewatch for fear that you won't like them as much?
Yes.
Kai has a funny kind of smirk on his face right now.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying to think of one. Like, off the top of my head, I couldn't name one. But yeah, absolutely. That's happened a million times where I thought a film was brilliant, and then I've shown it to someone. What was the one? God, I remember I saw The Gray, and I thought it was fucking phenomenal, and I showed it to a friend. He's like, that was fucking stupid. They just fought wolves for 2 hours. And I wanted it to be that thing that it was in my head. So to a certain extent, yeah, I think that happens more for me with dramas and even like Academy Award style stuff. You know what? I have an example of that. Pan's Labyrinth. I got to see Pan's Labyrinth at the Palm Springs Film Festival, and afterwards was like, I thought it was fucking phenomenal. And then there was a surprise Q&A after with Guillermo del Toro. And my wife and I were there, and we totally fell in love with the guy. Like, he's super charming. Anybody
he's
that's ever
so
seen
cuddly.
It, yeah, anybody that's seen an interview with him knows that. But, like, I have been afraid to throw it back in because I want it to just remain. I remember being really bummed that it didn't win Best Foreign Film. It lost to that Secret Lives of Others, that film about the guy that just listens to the next room.
Which is a really good movie.
No, it's not.
It really is.
No, but it's not. That's why you're wrong.
But it is.
So, it's not better than Pan's Labyrinth.
It's maybe not.
Okay. Either way, I'm afraid to throw – I went out and bought it. I haven't even unwrapped it because I'm afraid to throw it in and have it be a little worse than it was because I like it so much.
Yeah, I've got that with two recent films that came to me when I thought of that question, one of which you kind of referenced before we started recording, which is WALL-E. I haven't seen WALL-E since the theater. I have the fucking Blu-ray, I think, and I have yet to throw it in.
Sorry. He didn't shut up either.
Apparently not. And the other one was Hugo, which I was a super huge proponent of, as you can probably recall. I'm afraid it won't be as good the second time. But
yeah, you know what? I really liked Hugo, and I could see that because I could feel like it wasn't as good as I thought it was. And I didn't even think it was that great. I feel like if there's something in me that strikes that chord the first time, it's going to be there. There are films like Hugo's a great example where I thought it was going to be good or it was going to be great and it was right up there, but something was lacking. I'm almost afraid to go back because I'm going to find what was lacking in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Finally, I wanted to throw at you this, you know, philosophical thought that I think is really sad. It's called The Philosophy of Sadness. That's my horrible moniker for it.
So like a Nine Inch Nails song.
I'm going to drop this on you. The more time that goes by, the less time we have in our lives to rewatch films that we love, plus the more films that we see that we later want to rewatch. That is the philosophy of sadness.
It's the glass half
isn't
empty.
That, isn't that depressing as hell?
That's borderline philosophical. That's like, you know what that is? That's junior college philosophy.
Thank you.
Yes.
It's maybe, very impressive. We could say 7th grade. It's cool.
That was, oh, no, we'll call it 13th. 13th grade philosophy.
Okay.
Let me go back to the gravity thing for a minute, because this is an interesting question, because you were talking about gravity being one of the films, I think you'd said, first time in a long time, that you wanted to just go back and see immediately after watching.
Yeah.
Do you, how many, that rarely happens with me. I need a minute.
It rarely happens with me, too.
I very often will see a film in theater and then buy the DVD or rent the DVD and rewatch with the family or rewatch myself. So, but I mean, you figure what, you got 3 to 6 months for that time period, right?
Right.
Which is a fair chunk of time. But to actually watch a film, get off your ass, leave, go back in or buy a ticket, go back in, throw the DVD back in immediately, how often does that happen to you?
Once every 2-3 years, maybe.
Okay. What are some examples?
Like, and I can't even think of that many that
I'd say it happens
strong
less.
Or, yeah, maybe. I know I saw, what was it? I saw The Dark Knight Rises twice in theaters. The number of films that I see twice in theaters is really small to begin with, so I can probably just think of those and rattle them off to you. I saw Dark Knight Rises twice in theaters, probably mostly because I wanted to see it in IMAX after hearing how much of a big, fat, hairy deal that was.
Yeah, and, with them shooting it in the IMAX, yeah.
Yeah, I saw Dark Knight twice in theaters. I don't recall if I saw Star Trek twice in theaters. I want to say yes.
Oh, and then I died. Do you buy into that whole IMAX thing, by the way? Does it make a difference? I don't feel like it does.
Well, I have yet to see Gravity in 3D IMAX. I only saw it in 3D, so I don't know.
You told me to see it in 3D IMAX, so I did, and it was great. But all IMAX is essentially is a bigger screen, right?
Yeah, but with a film like that, it's so immersive that, like, my wife doesn't want to see it even in 3D, and I'm like, well, shit, I don't even want to go see it with you then.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And maybe this is like, okay, I don't know if this will mean anything to anybody who lives outside of California who hasn't been to California Adventure. Have you been to California Adventure or just Disneyland?
No, I always skip California Adventure. I'd rather do Disneyland.
Okay, well, there's one ride there that's worth a damn. It's Soaring Over California. And what it is, it's like,
I've heard 15, about it, yeah.
Okay, 15 seats wide. Three deep, like at a movie theater. And what happens is when the ride starts, the first row goes up, the second one follows, and the third one goes up, and you're just dangling feet in the air, right?
But you're not actually going really anywhere, are you?
No. It lifts you up, and it pushes you forward, and you become encompassed in basically what they did is like a half-sphere screen.
Yeah.
So basically the effect goes all the way around you. And they do certain shit, like they do what they call the Disney 4D, where like you fly over the orange groves and they pump the smell of oranges into the room and shit like that. But you're immersed in the screen. And that's why even when we were watching Gravity in IMAX, I felt like it lost a little bit of its luster, because when the shrapnel's flying at you, it still got lost in the edges of the screen.
You wanted a curved screen around you.
I want that half bowl experience. I feel like that would make a huge difference.
It probably would. That's the next step in 3D filmmaking.
I think so. It'd be fully immersive.
It probably would be. Yeah.
You know?
I could do without smell-o-vision, though.
Yeah, I could too. You know, for me, like, the last film, it's very strange that it would be this one. But I think it's kind of underestimated in his entire filmography. I get all the new DVD releases every week, and I watch through them, and I got one week Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, no, that's completely warranted.
it is warranted, but, like, not for me, because, I mean, again, there's a great movie, and then there's a great movie that you want to watch again. So I watched this film, and I don't know if it was maybe just coming off of, you know, Grindhouse and even Kill Bill to where Tarantino wasn't Tarantino, but I watched Inglourious Basterds. It finished. My wife came home from work. I said, you have to see this. I threw it back in, and we watched it twice back to back.
I completely understand that.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the last film I can remember. You said every 2-3 years. Like, shit, I can't remember one going 10 years back. I saw Avengers twice, but I'll blame that on Captain America and Hulk. You know what I mean? Of course I'm going to see those twice.
it might not be as frequent as 2-3 years, especially the whole I feel the need to. Like, I remember that with Fight Club, but that was, like we said, 14 years ago. But
and I saw Fight Club 4 times in theaters, and I don't go to theaters.
Yeah, and I saw it, like, the next day. And the number of ones that happen like that where I feel the need to see it that much sooner in the theater, yeah, that's probably much more rare.
Well, that was even one. The only one I felt the need to see that I could think of, besides before Inglourious, was probably Sixth Sense. And I dragged people with me, and I said, I'm going to blow your fucking mind.
Yeah, how much of that, though, was...
The ending.
Was what? Well, no, what I meant was, how much of that was your own personal need to see it again versus you wanting to share it with others? Kind of different from compared to the other films.
Well, I mean, Inglourious Basterds, I grabbed my wife, I said, you need to see this, so maybe not. But I would say yes, and at the same time, that's one of those films you need to see twice because you catch all the little gems you missed the first time sure. that are dangling right in front of your face.
I should say, with Gravity, as much as I enjoyed it, had I seen it in 3D IMAX the first time, I don't know if I would have still said I need to see it again immediately. I just really want to see it on the biggest screen in 3D as possible, and I didn't the first time.
You know, the funny thing is, I really want to see Gravity again on DVD to see if it holds up without the 3D IMAX.
I'm afraid of that. I think it'll still be really good, but I think so much is going to be lost. And, of course, I'm pretty sure you're in the same boat. Not really big fans of 3D to begin with, so to even say that feels like blasphemy. But
yeah, on the last MILFcast we did, I actually said best 3D experience since Avatar.
Oh yeah, I think it's better.
I still give the thumbs up to Avatar, although I say Avatar is a shittier movie.
Oh, definitely.
But I think the 3D in Avatar is unlike anything I've ever seen. But
yeah,
Gravity is the first film since that has warranted 3D or recommending 3D.
I'm right there with you on that.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting.
That is kind of interesting. And that's a good way to end it.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of interesting. So, Kai, takeaway.
Takeaway? I need to go rewatch this podcast. What about you?
It's like revisiting an old friend that I don't want to be fat and drunk or whatever you said.
It's like me if we went to high school together.
Scotty. So, this was episode 9 of Film Don't Hurt. I'm Dylan Fields.
That's and I'm Kai. Kirk out.